Welcome to episode 43 with Tyler Harris. Here today to talk about camming. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, camming, webcamming.
Webcamming, camming.
Being a cyber whore.
Ooh, I like that. Cyber whore. It's a good one.
Yeah.
How are you, Tyler?
I'm good.
Cool. We met at a New Year's Eve party this past New Year's Eve. And I was like, hey, what do you guys do? And you were like, I'm a cam boy. And I was like, cool, let's talk.
I like that cam boy. I never actually heard it called a cam boy before.
No?
I say I'm like a cam girl, but with a penis.
Oh.
That nice. Clears it up.
Clears it up. I mean, cam boy basically is that.
That is the same thing.
It just makes you sound like a boy and not a man, which I don't know how you feel about that.
To be fair, it's an angle that would probably work for me.
Let's give everyone some background, as we usually do. What's your story? You grew up in Canada. Normal childhood?
Yeah, normal childhood. I mean, a little bit on sort of a hippie side of things.
Yeah.
My parents had been hippies, and then sort of, I'm going to use the phrase, grew up. I don't mean that in a negative way at all, on either side of things, but...
But had to.
But sort of, like, you know, had kids and were taking care of them, but we're always sort of open to different ideas, whether they agreed with them or not. I didn't get a lot of alternative ideas from them, but they also didn't shove traditional ideas in my face.
That's good.
So there was sort of a space to see things how I wanted.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so you finished high school, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I finished high school.
And then what did you do?
I was supremely anxious pretty much all the time, particularly around other people.
Yeah.
And I think like near the end of grade 12, for some reason it clicked that like my whole life didn't have to be like that. Like I thought that was just true of me and that's how life was going to be. And it was really frustrating because I would want to do something and I just couldn't get myself over myself to go and do it. I was just like paralyzed in my own mind. And as soon as I saw that, like, oh my God, this is up for grabs still. Like I could maybe understand my mind in a way that would free me from it or change it or something. I didn't really know what that looked like, but I knew that anything I did in my life wasn't worth shit until... Can I swear on this?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. well, it wasn't worth anything if I wasn't free. Like, if I wasn't free in myself, I would be living these lies. And so pursuing anything other than that internal freedom just looked like an incredible waste of time.
Yeah.
So I got really interested in meditation and hypnosis and a whole bunch of other ways of trying to change their
tools.
Minds.
Yeah.
And one of the people who I got sort of mentored by for a while had a career in porn through like the 70s and 80s. And then transitioned out of that.
Such epic stories to listen to, I'm imagining.
Apparently, and this makes a lot of sense to me, porn was ruined by Viagra.
Oh.
Because as soon as any guy can get hard on cam, he doesn't have to be into sex. He doesn't have to be into performing. He just has to have a big enough unit that you can see it from different angles.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so
That sounds about right.
It changed from people having fun and swingers and people who are into sex to anybody who needed to make a buck.
Yeah.
And so him and I moved to Las Vegas in... maybe 2014 or so, and I was living in a house with a bunch of escorts and porn stars and strippers and sex parties.
So you were what, 20?
I was 22, 23.
So what did you do between like high school and 22, 23 and moving to Vegas?
I was kind of like trying to unravel my own mind in a bunch of ways.
Yeah.
I lived in Australia for a while. I did a year of neuroscience at university, which was like...
crazy.
It was cool, but I kind of went, this is not at all going to free me from my own mind.
Yeah.
Like, there's no answer here, and that was pretty apparent. And it was taking up all my time and all my money.
Yeah.
And so in the summers, I would go to northern Canada, and I would do bush work. So just like working in the wilderness. every day for 4 months, save up a bunch of money, and then I would go and find people who I thought might have unique insights into the workings of human minds.
That's awesome.
Pay them to pay attention to me and teach me things. and then if we got along, become friends with them, like this guy. So I did that for a few years.
That's epic.
Yeah, it was really cool. I met a lot of really cool people. I didn't really find what I was looking for until sort of after that.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept me really hopeful. Like, it was... I had a lot of experiences, met a lot of people that made really sort of...
Changed you, but like step by step, like not maybe the light bulb thing that you thought was going to happen, but like tiny little clicks along the way.
Well, the light bulb thing did end up happening, but it just wasn't exactly in the direction I had been looking.
Okay.
So, but I was hopeful enough not to stop looking.
Yeah.
And I think that's more than I could have asked for before I found what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Right. So that was really cool. And then the camming aspect comes into play when I'm living in this house full of people.
Yeah.
It was time to go back up north to do more work because I was running out of money. And I thought, man, I'm done with that job. I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, it's super hard.
It's super hard. It's isolating. Like, it's beautiful being isolated like that. Like, you're alone for 8-10 hours a day for 4 months. Like, it's beautiful. And then you go back to a camp of, like, literally 4 other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a weird reality, and it's cool. But,
But it takes its toll.
It takes its toll, and I just... Honestly, I wanted to be in a city so I could have sex with people.
I mean, that's, like, a very legitimate thing.
Yeah, I was just like, this whole being abstinent for 4 months out of the year...
Isn't working for me anymore.
I don't want to do that anymore. And one of the guys in the friend circle recruits cam models for a living. And I, my mentor was like, man, you would probably make great money online. You obviously, like, no pressure or anything, but it's worth considering.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you don't have an issue with it, why not? And so I started picking this other guy's brain about it. And over the course of probably like 2 or 3 months, I had a bunch of, like, insights and moments of clarity and whatever phrase you want to use kind of understanding it in a way that made me genuinely comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And as soon as I was there, I was like, all right, let's do it.
How's your... Okay, so we'll talk about sort of, like, the mind framework of, like, going, you know, do I feel comfortable with this?
Yeah.
But before that, I just want to be like, what's your first cam like? You know, what... How do you feel the first one?
Yeah, that's a really funny question. Because I forget that. Like, over the years, inevitably, people will meet me. I'll tell them what I do. They'll ask me questions about it, and they'll start doing it. And I'm pretty good at training people. I can get people to a place where they're making good money online. But sometimes I forget that I've been in it for 4 years now.
Yeah.
And the first login is fucking weird. The first week is like your brain's melting a little bit. And then, like, for about a year, if I took more than a couple weeks off, going back to it would just be just as weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, so the first time I logged in, you have like an app on your computer and you set it all up and you can see yourself in a little square and you set up your frame so that you control exactly what everybody sees, right? You don't point it at your bill.
Yeah,
of
course.
Post it, like, on your fridge or something so that they can see your real name. Just, it's basic stuff. But you frame it, you can see yourself, and you've got the light on you, and then you hit, like, stream. And then you see names start to appear in your room, right?
Yeah.
It's like, Toe Licker 64, California King 48, Huge Black Cock 96. You're just, like, all these... usernames were so anonymous compared to your live stream.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they could be anyone. They could be anyone. And I just started sweating. I was sitting there, and, like, it was weird because my mind was... I was like, it felt very present, and I knew that I was okay with it. I just started like just sweating like crazy. Like,
were you just like sitting
sweating.
There sweating?
I was just sitting there, and this is like a little bit maybe gross or something.
It's all good. Don't
but
worry.
I just like literally just started dripping.
Yeah.
Like hot yoga, just like drip.
Yeah.
Drip. And I was like, this is insane. Like, this is such a weird, intense
rush.
Experience.
Yeah.
When nothing's happening. I'm sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
This is like roller coaster intense. Just sitting on a chair. And
it's insane.
My first couple of shows, people were super nice. They'd just like take me in, they'd start. If you're not familiar with canning, basically you're in like a free chat. People can see you, everyone can see you, everyone can talk to you. If somebody wants, they can start paying you by the minute, and then it's like just them typing to you. No one else can see you. And
yeah.
You talk back to them or type back to them. So my first couple of shows like that, people were super nice. They're just like, hey, welcome to the site, yada yada.
So you kind of were like, they knew that it was like your first.
They knew
the
I
beginning.
Was new.
Yeah.
They knew I was new. And then like the first time I got naked was super weird. Because I'm like having this mild panic attack where I'm like, fuck, my face and my body are attached to each other on the internet. Like,
yeah,
this is like a real thing now.
This is so the thing like, they tell you not to do.
Trying to like keep my face out of the frame because I was just panicking. And then by that afternoon, I was like, fuck it, let's do this.
So wait, like what? So the first stream, what was the first thing that somebody asked you to do?
Anything from like, hey BB, like what's the biggest dildo you have, to where are you from, to
okay,
are you into farting, to like I have a weird fetish, can I ask you about it? And then there's like when you start too, there's a lot of people, because they know you're new, they kind of try to take advantage of you and trick you into things.
Yeah.
So you have to sort of sort through a little bit of bullshit initially. And then some people are just mean.
Oh.
Like they'll just be like, man, you look exhausted and shitty and like you're about to cry. And you're like, whoo-wee.
Now I am. Like,
jeez, come on, man.
But do you like humor it then? Like, what do you do in that moment when it's like
depends
fucking
on my mood.
Fuck you too.
No, I never say fuck you too. If I can't respond with humor or ignore it, I just ban them. So you just kick them out of the room. They can't come back.
I mean, that's a smart move.
But it has paid off very well if I'm able to kind of like see them as a person who's clearly
having issues,
having a good time, and talk to them like that. I sort of do that for the rest of the room. I don't expect to get through to somebody who's like, fuck you. And you're like, oh man, what's going on in your life?
Yeah.
Right. But I think that a lot of the people appreciate watching somebody who doesn't get sucked into it.
Who treats others with empathy.
Treats others with empathy, who's like a real person. And like they're giving me my attention, and so I try to respect that.
Absolutely.
By like not being a douchebag.
Totally.
So sometimes I want to be like, I want to tell people to just fuck off, and then I log off. I'm done for the day.
Yeah. That's crazy. And so, the first few weeks, super awkward, like, anxiety or more like adrenaline?
More like adrenaline.
Cool. Yeah. That's good. Still unsettling.
I mean,
but
you're into adrenaline, yeah. I suppose so. Some people are into that sort of thing.
That's true. And then, so now you're 4 years in. Were there moments in the last 4 years where you went, I'm not doing this anymore? Or were there more moments of like, actually, now that I know what I'm doing, or now that I've got this thing down pat, I'm going to do it more? Or like, have a long-term vision for it? Does that sort of fluctuate?
So it's gone from, first I just needed to pay some bills, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't in debt, but I was like, okay, I won't have rent 2 months from now.
Yeah.
So let's get that covered.
Yeah.
Let's keep this cushion here because I like that. And then I didn't work for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, I got rent coming up again. Let's do this again. So I did that for maybe 6 months, which is really, really common. People just log
supplement
on
it, yeah.
To pay bills to just kind of keep just above, right? And then I started dating a girl who was also doing it but had been doing it for a couple years before me, and I started talking to her, and she's telling me about all these ways that she's able to basically leverage it better to make more money with less effort and less time. And I kind of went, holy shit, this is a real thing. Like, I could do something with this. I could, this could genuinely change my life. Like, I could make enough money that this would give me a different, like, trajectory.
Yeah.
And so I spent 2.5 months. This sounds so pathetic to be like, wow, you really worked hard for 2.5 months. But I gave myself 2 months to see how much money I could make in 2 months.
Yeah.
And I did that, and I was blown away, but also exhausted.
Yeah.
I was working about 40 hours a week, which online is like, it's just a different amount of time.
I cannot imagine doing that for 40 hours.
Yeah.
Like a week. Like, I work, as you know, like 80, 90 hour weeks.
Yeah.
But I cannot imagine doing what you do for 40. Like, that sounds extremely a lot.
It's very weird. Because you're either doing it or recovering from it. Like, it's not a natural thing to be talking into a cam.
No.
And, like, you're alone, right? You're locked in a room by yourself. There's no, like, there's no real human interaction. Like, there's something about having a 3D person in front of you.
Yeah. That makes you feel like a human.
Than just talking at a computer screen. And I don't want to take anything away from, like, conversations and connections I've had online. But I don't think you can replace. I think you can, like, supplement
human
interaction. I don't think you can replace it in the digital realm. It just, like, I would leave my house after, like, 10 hours online. And it was just like, it was like I was really high or something.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like an alternate, like, okay, I need to adjust back to 3 dimensions. And
yeah.
Super weird. Super weird. But anyway, so I worked really hard for 2 months, saved up a bunch of money, and was like, oh, this is really cool. And then on and off, I've sort of done that and gotten to points where I've been like, you know, I could just, you know, change directions. Yeah. Like, I could not do this anymore. I could go start a company, or I could go start a business doing something else or related. And for whatever reason, I guess a series of reasons, it keeps sort of drawing me back in. I'm currently in a phase where I'm working about 20 hours a week.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try to sustain that for, in theory, 2019.
Yeah.
But I'm totally open to something else coming up too.
But that's kind of the beauty of it, is that you're not, like, all of the decisions remain yours. And if something, like a project, draws you in, you can change direction and then come back. Like, there is nothing stringing you to it.
That is truly
in practicality.
Yeah. I started doing it in part so that I could dictate my own time.
Yeah.
And location. Because obviously you can work with it from anywhere with fast internet.
Yeah.
And that's a really beautiful freedom.
For sure. So let's go back to the more sort of moral loaded philosophical question of, like, what was it that you asked yourself, like, first when that person was like, no pressure or anything, like, if you're comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go like, am I comfortable with it? Like,
how did that unfold?
Yeah, in your head.
Well, initially, I didn't even take it seriously. Like, he threw a number out, and I thought, there's no way.
What was the number?
Well, he's like, you'd probably make 6 figures a quarter. And I was like,
Jesus.
I was like, that would be... And he was also like, you'd probably get, like, 3 or 4 guys who just wanted to see you live a nice life. And, like, you wouldn't be doing a lot for that money. You would just have to be enjoying your life.
Yeah.
And I thought, that sounds high. First of all, like, it sounded so high that
it didn't sound real.
Take it seriously,
yeah,
basically. But then I started talking to a friend of mine, and he was in the business, and the numbers he gave me were a lot more believable. He's like, you know, this was American dollars, so it's like, I think it was about 1.3 at the time.
Jeez, Canadian, yeah,
which is like a nice conversion. But he's like, probably between $50 and $150 an hour. Ballpark.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, interesting. And I guess maybe was full of myself. I assumed I would be at the higher end of the range.
Which it's a gut problem, you
which
know?
Which I have been. So it doesn't make
self-fulfilling
me feel crazy.
Prophecy.
But in talking to him, I was just like, I gotta be above average for, like, because a lot of people cam who they give the sense that it's their last option. It's like,
yeah,
and it's just kind of like you're not in the right frame of mind for people to like really enjoy you, I think.
Yeah,
when you're in that frame of mind and you're not in the right frame of mind to connect with people and to give a shit about people and to actually be able to work, like, it'll wear you out. Like, so given all of those things, I thought, okay, like, I now have a number that I could kind of believe. So a bunch of the moments, one of them was, he explained to me that there is never anything you have to do on cam.
Yeah.
And that wasn't obvious to me. I thought, well, if I'm online, I'm going to have to be doing
this. Something.
Well, I'm going to have to get naked, masturbating, probably doing anal stuff. Like, as a guy, right? All my clients are men. And he goes, well, you don't have to do anything. It's bad for business if you promise something, they pay for it, and you don't deliver it.
Yeah.
You'll probably lose the customer.
Yeah.
But you won't get in trouble.
Yeah. Like, it's like, who's gonna...
And I was like, in that degree of freedom, I was like, really? Like, I really can just decide what works for me and stick within that.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I think that has helped it be sustainable, because inevitably somebody's like, hey, I want you to do this thing. And you go, no. And he goes, well, how much?
Yeah.
And as soon as, especially if you're having a slow day or a slow week or whatever it is, they kind of dangle that carrot in front of you and suddenly you're doing something you regret.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a line that you have to keep a close eye on. You have to be like, hey, am I okay with doing this? If mm-hmm. this was taken out of context and shown to someone, would I have known better than to do it?
Yeah.
So, like, I've had requests for shows that still are shocking to me.
Like what?
Yeah, right? This is the one that took me. We ended up talking. You told me what it was. And I said, straight up, I'm not going to do that for you.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable doing that. I will not get comfortable doing that with you. But I would love to talk to you about it. Because holy shit, what a fetish.
What was it?
The inevitable baggage and interpersonal struggles you have with this particular fetish being the particular person who had it. And this guy was 65-year-old, black male, living in the southern states,
mm-hmm.
whose fetish was being a literal slave for a white man.
Ooh.
And a sexual slave, but literal. This is, I can't believe that this happens, but apparently you can rent plantations to host parties like this, themed sex parties, where people go as slave owners or whatever they're called, and slaves, and that's the party. And I went, holy, like, I literally said, you're gonna have to give me a minute.
For the record, Tyler is blonde and blue-eyed.
Yeah.
Because you can't see him.
I went, you're going to have to give me a minute, because I have no interest in judging you, because I don't think we choose our fetishes.
No.
But I'm going to have to get over this one before we can continue our conversation. So I literally just sat there, kind of like hand on my face, going, okay. A huge story behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem with it, is the history.
The history, the background.
The history. If the races were flipped, it would be much less emotionally jarring,
right? Yeah.
But who's this guy? He just lands in that body, happens to have that fetish. And when I finally spoke, I just went, I bet you piss a lot of people off who say, you don't know what the fuck your ancestors went through. And he goes, man, my whole life, like, I can't help
God.
This
yeah.
fetish. Damn, does it offend a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, to the point where unless he finds someone who's specifically looking for that, he doesn't tell people or online.
Yeah.
It's anonymous. And we ended up, I'm really grateful for this, because it was so, like, when you come across something, you know, you get so much weird shit online where you're like, what? You want me to do what? like, not offensive, just fucking
just weird.
Just weird. Like, why would that do it for you? Okay. But when you get something that's, like, that loaded.
Yeah.
My interest in, like, an individual's experience and the implications of whatever thinking they have, which they didn't choose.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fetish that really gets him off. The implications of that in his life, in his relationships, I wanted to explore it.
Yeah.
I wanted to know about it. I wanted to ask him questions. And I wanted to see if I could be okay with it. I knew that I wasn't going to do it. That was a line for me.
Yeah.
No interest in that at all. Even framed as just a fetish and just play, I'm like, I can't go there. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But that's your line for you to draw. And yeah. That's a huge thing that a lot of people, like, outside, in or outside of sex work, don't really grasp or comprehend or take the time to think about is the... whatever your fetish is, like, even if I'm not, like, that's not something I'm up for, because it's not something that turns me on. Like, I have no, that doesn't give me any sort of right or privilege or intention to give you what I, like, give you the things that I think about your fetish. Like, that's yours. I have all of mine. Like, yeah. Why would I ever approach yours with anything but empathy?
That's an interesting question. Why would you?
Because morality. The same reason why you would hesitate to do cam.
Well, I don't know that morality is really the answer. Honestly. I think that there might be some of that, but I think that it has to be fear. There has to be an... So, like...
Yeah.
Like... what is that individual scared of that they're judging this other person's fetish? Why why is it off-putting to them? Because you sit down with somebody and you're like, yes, these are two consenting adults, assuming that that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I talked to one guy who works on cam, and he looks like an 8-year-old boy. And he's like, do you hate me? And I was like, why would I hate you? And he's like, well, everyone else who works on the site hates me because all my clients are pedophiles. And I was like, well, to be fair, you have the hardest job of all of us. Because you're dealing with people who their entire lives have been told they're evil by all of society. They probably believe it about themselves, and they just can't help it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a fucking hard life to live.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 100% clear, don't touch kids.
Yeah.
Not okay. But if that happens to be what works for you, that's a tough hand to be dealt.
Yeah.
Super tough. And... He had some fun stories. He had some really distressing stories.
Oh my gosh.
But the fear aspect of it is like, why?
Yeah.
Why do I give a shit what works for you?
Yeah.
Why do I think I'm better because I can pretend my sexuality is normal, quote unquote?
Yeah.
And even, it's so funny, I've been camming for 4 years, and this year, like, I'm still discovering things within myself that work for me that I never would have admitted would work for me before. And I think that part of it, I mean, this is kind of like an old comment about, like, the most homophobic people are closeted, right?
Yeah.
As soon as people start getting freaked out by these fetishes, part of me wonders, I'm like, you haven't come to term with your own.
Yeah, or you're afraid you might like it.
You're afraid, or you're jealous that this other person is able to just be like, yo, you know what I need you to do? I need you to sneeze for me, and I'll have to come. And you're like, what?
Let me sniff some pepper.
Actually, the trick for that is you roll up a piece of toilet paper.
Yeah.
You, like, pull it apart so you just get a single ply. You roll it up, and then you can gently shove it all the way into your sinus.
And then
there's, like, a specific kind of, like...
spot.
Rhythm that you can do, and you'll feel it building up. You'll feel it building up, and you get yourself to sneeze that way.
The shit you learn. But you're right. I think the fear thing is huge, because ultimately... And this is kind of why I think I phrased it as morality, is, like... A lot of people, you know, I was thinking of maybe, like, latent Catholic guilt and, like, all of these things. But it's essentially fear of repercussions and, like, fear of what will people say and fear of you know, how am I going to look myself in the mirror the next day because of all this shit that I've been taught I should feel about myself or about others or about my sexuality or about my orientation or about my gender. Like,
you know what I love about this, right? I love, okay, so like this came to light as soon as I got a rim job for the first time. I was in a position where I didn't expect the person to have access to my butthole. And they kind of, I was sort of like, my legs were straddled on either side of their face. And
yeah.
My balls were in their mouth and I was playing with myself. And they kind of like shimmied back underneath as if they were going under a car to work on it. And I was like, what's going on? And then like their tongue landed and I was like, yes, I want more of this in my life. This is a good thing. 100% yes. 100%
yes.
Please keep going. And then later I was like, oh, interesting. I think, you know, I was talking to guy friends about it. I'm like, have you ever been rimmed?
Yeah.
Because god damn, that is wonderful. And they're all like, that's kind of gay. And I was like, woman, licking you, your body, how is it gay? And they're like, you're enjoying your butthole. I'm like, yes, that is where a penis would go if you were into penises in your butthole. What does that have to do with being gay?
Yeah.
Why do you think it means something about you? And what's wrong with being gay?
And also, just like biology, dude. Like, yeah, just look like, it up.
Why are you so afraid of that label?
I know.
Like, you don't appear to be homophobic unless it comes to you. Like, you're fine with having gay friends, but you're not okay with the idea that you might be into dudes. That's terrifying for a lot of straight guys.
I know, and it's just toxic masculinity is just, like, ruining so many dudes' lives, sex lives in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a really, I think it's a really interesting one because it's the same as, you know, sort of the it's a hard word to say, anonymity. Thing.
And then
in it.
Just get on, kid.
Totally. You know what I mean. Yeah. And online, because you sort of, like, you suddenly give yourself license to be who you wish you could be in real life because of the anonymity. No. But, pulled it off. But I think it's sort of, I don't know, the fear thing is huge because, like, for me, I think it's the more I have these conversations with people in general in my life, the more free I feel to ask for what I want or ask for things I'm not sure if I want. Be like, hey.
That's a fun place to get to.
I feel like I don't know if I'd enjoy this. Can we try that?
Yeah.
It's a great place. I highly recommend.
Yeah.
But it's also sort of like the same, I think, fear that people might have, like, talking to you and asking you some questions about what you do because it's like, you know, what is it that makes us think that people are going to be offended if you delve into this stuff? Is it, like, too much information? Like, I'm always fascinated by learning why we feel, like, shy or shameful about sharing information.
Hmm.
You know, just talking about it.
I am so far removed from that, I don't know.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm getting there, too.
It's been so long since I've been shy about a conversation like that.
It's very strange. Like, it's such a, but it's part of toxic masculinity. It's part of, you know, religious morality.
Yeah, I think that there might be a layer in it that where people forget that sex is like everything else in life. You don't, well, I guess this kind of goes both ways. On one hand, you absolutely can do it. You're just, like, born. You can do it as long as you don't get in your way.
Yeah.
It's fun. But on the other hand, the more you do it, the more you understand it, the more you can enjoy it, the more depth it has, the more it opens up, the more layers it has. And I think that there's... people get a little bit timid when they're not pros already.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, like, you're just starting out. Be just starting out.
Yeah.
Don't pretend to be a pro already.
Yeah.
And
that relates back to your first cam, to the first time you go to a sex party, to the first time that you do something.
It's so you go home with somebody and you're like, you don't know their body yet.
No.
Don't pretend like you do.
Exactly.
It's impossible for you to know their body, right?
Absolutely.
And you to admit, like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I don't know
Help
if this is
me.
True for women, but, like, for men, you're supposed to know. Or at least pretend like you know.
Less and less true, but yes, it's been true forever. Yeah.
Yeah, and to just be like, hey, like, don't know my way around here.
Yeah.
Like,
help me. Please, and that's like way help. More attractive than like pretending to know what you're doing.
It's way more attractive if you're with somebody who can help you. But
if you both don't know what you're doing.
So often women either don't know that's what they true. Want or feel like you'll think they're a slut if you know what they want. If they
yeah,
know what they
or
want
conversely, like feel like they're a prude because they don't know.
Yeah, there's just so much like thinking
yeah.
about sex. It's just like, it's so hard to just be with sex and like let it be awkward or let it be good or let it be
yeah.
like to be expressive. Or it's so hard to just be with however it is for people.
But I think that's like something that must be like so wonderful. Like one of the positive sides of like your job is to like, you actually get to sit there and think about all these people's fetishes and just be like, how do I feel about them? Like sit there without the pressure of being in front of somebody that you like in a dark room. You feel like you have one shot to make a good impression, you know? Like it's like, oh, okay. I have all of this like legit, this is part of my job to think about.
Yeah.
Whether sneezing is a thing, you know?
I mean, I still... This is so funny, though. Because I still have the thinking about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not like it went away. I just... It's I.
You just know what to do with it?
No.
With the thinking, I mean.
It's almost the opposite of that. Is I don't try to do anything with it. I used to try to unravel the thinking or, like, get myself to a good place. And now, I'm like, oh, I'm thinking a lot. Like, that's the opposite of sexy for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, like, it's not being present.
That's not when I enjoy it the most. Okay, well, do I want sex now? Well, no, I'm kind of caught up in my own thinking. And then if I'm with somebody, like, I might just be like, hey, I'm kind of caught up in my own thinking right now. Can we, like, chill for a minute? It'll settle, because that's what thinking does.
Yeah.
And then when we're naturally inclined to continue, we'll naturally inclined to continue. But you can't, like, force... sexy.
No, I know.
You can't force turn on. You can't like technically maneuver. Like it's such a natural, organic thing.
Yeah.
When your mind settles.
Absolutely, and I think that's so interesting to hear you say, because like I feel like it's a lesson that a lot of women should hear. I'm sure men too, but like coming, being in a woman's body, because we're so cerebral and so much of our desire and pleasure comes from our brain, like physiologically. Trying to force it or like trying to like make yourself stop thinking about laundry is not gonna work, you know? Like you're gonna think about laundry more and more and more. And so I think it's this narrative that we have in our heads that sex is like A, B, and C. Like, you know, it starts like this, in the middle it's like this, and it ends with orgasm, mostly from the guy. That whole narrative is just like so fucking fucked up, because like that's not how sex, that for me, that's not how sex, that's not what sex is.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't, there doesn't have to be any penetration for it to be sex. There doesn't have to be any orgasm for it to be sex. Orgasms can happen in the middle or in the beginning or at the end, like if they do happen. And I think that's like, unless you start talking about it or find yourself in situations when you're with people that you're comfortable enough to say, hey, can we chill for a sec?
Yeah.
Then you won't really get the full sort of human pleasurable experience. And that makes me sad. Like, so I'm like, I'm really glad that you do what you do. Cause like a lot of the people that are in your rooms are people who don't have those people in their lives that they can say that to.
Yeah. Yeah. I suppose that's true. Probably.
Probably.
I don't know, man. I just, every time I think I know about things like this, something surprises me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Yeah, it's funny, though, how we do have that idea of, like, how sex should be. And if it's not that way, then we immediately go to, well, what does this mean?
Yes.
And it's like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just, what's wrong
just
with
is.
It? What's wrong with just not being turned on right now?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't mean anything about your partner. It doesn't mean anything about your relationship. It's so funny that when I'm okay with, like, genuinely what's coming out of me in the moment, my fetishes change a lot. Or, like, whether I have a fetish or I just want, like, like the flavor of sex I'm in the mood for changes so much.
Yeah.
To the point where one day somebody saying something in bed will, like, I'll just come. The next day it'll make me go off. It'll turn me off.
Yeah.
And it's, at first it was confusing because I was like, I thought I knew how my sexuality was. It's like,
turns out it's just fluid.
It turns out that if I give it space to be, it will be different.
Yeah.
And that's really cool.
Yeah. I heard this expression, like, recently that is, like, my new favorite. It's like, don't yuck my yum.
I like that. Don't yuck my yum.
It's like, you know, might not be your yum, but, like, don't yuck mine. It's,
yeah.
And that the yums can be ever so changing, you know?
Yeah. I think this reminds me of more extreme yums.
Where, all,
like,
right.
There's kind of a visceral, like...
reaction?
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Really? Like, just things where you're like, you've been pushing for so long. You've been upping the intensity. You've been doing the opposite of being present with yourself and your partner. You've literally just needed more stimulus in order to, like, get off.
Yeah.
Right? And you've gotten so far to the point where, like, you need
something extreme.
You need something extreme. Maybe just chill for, like, a minute or a month. Right? Like, just let yourself reset. Right? But but when you're I am now gonna slap my arm. When you're looking for a fix, I think when you need it, and this is kind of a weird line for me because it matters to me. This is, like, one of the things that's really important to me for humans in general.
Yeah,
that people feel more peaceful in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so when I see someone chasing a primrose path, right, there's no there ever. Right, you don't get to the end of the path and then feel satisfied.
No,
you have, like, a moment where you get to stop chasing, which is better than chasing.
Yeah,
it's not really contentment.
No.
Okay. So when I have customers and I go, like, this person's a great customer, but they're broken.
Yeah.
And not in a judgmental way, but, like, they're functioning in a way that
they haven't had any peace in so long. Yeah.
I then have to kind of be like, hey, are you open to a conversation about what we're doing?
Yeah.
Like, I had one guy who would, they can turn on their webcam if they want. He would turn on his webcam and start smoking crack.
Ooh.
And to me, that's not that extreme, actually. Not because I've ever been around
just
people
used to
smoking
it.
Crack.
Yeah.
But literally, he turned on his camera and I went, oh, that kind of makes sense.
Like, that explained it? Yeah.
It didn't, like, explain him, but I was like, yeah, people are into drugs. People don't like doing drugs alone.
Yeah.
This type of industry is very in line with addictive personality.
Yeah.
Type things. And so I made a deal with them. I'm like, listen, we'll do the shows, but we have to split 50% therapy. That's the deal. I'm like, you're a great customer. I like you. You're a really nice guy. But I don't think smoking crack's a good thing for you. Right? It's okay. It's what you do to stabilize yourself. And to, like, you might be going crazy if you didn't have crack, but I think if we had some conversations, you might be smoking less crack and that would be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a line I have to draw with people who want more and more and more.
Yeah.
And more. And just...
because you recognize the behavior.
The don't yuck my yum thing, to tie it back.
Yeah.
Is, I'm like, I'm not yucking your yum.
No.
But there's a way yummier yum that you don't even know is available.
Exactly. A yummier yum.
You're just going about it backwards. Right?
I love that.
I would love for you to see that you're going about it backwards. Have a yummier yum.
Yeah.
But, like, your yum's fine.
And yeah.
Frankly, if you don't want to have the conversation, that's fine too. But I have to offer it.
Yeah.
I have to offer it because your yum is like, it's an okay yum.
You know, but it could be
when you're in the
next level.
In,
yeah,
that's a good yum, but there's something better.
Yeah. And I think we sort of, like, forget in general about work that's done between people, like services, mm-hmm. and sex work in particular. we forget that essentially, like, it's there, those social services, if you work within a social position, are sort of like the foundation of society, like the foundation of us being living in groups, you know, and that the aspect of, you know, you're my nail person, but like, you know, we're like, you're my therapist also, like, you know, and like, you're my hairdresser, but you know everything about my dating life.
Yeah.
And same thing with sex work. It's like, there is no sort of one side to human interaction. There is no one value to any human interaction. So maybe broadening the conversation to, you know, things like conversations like exactly what we just had is, for me, the most beneficial part about talking about some of this stuff. It's like, yeah, cool, sure, the taboo is there. And that's why at the beginning, I'm like, when we met yesterday for coffee, I was like, what did your parents say? Because that's just a baseline thing that you ask yourself, because I'm thinking, what would my mom say?
Yeah.
So I'm asking you. But the broader aspect of just human connection is the... at the center of it all, I think.
And it's the leveler too. It's what makes the equalizer. Sex work no different.
Yeah.
It's what makes the worker and the client or the customer
exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Right? You're just like two humans doing the thing. Right?
Yeah.
I happen to have something that they want, but like, and they'll give me money for it same way any other transaction like that works.
Exactly.
But at the end,
that's
of the
why time, I don't cut my own hair, kind
just
of thing.
People.
Yeah. No, it's funny how, you know, that the whole fear conversation around most of sex work and around most of anything that has to do with taboos, like even freaking sex shops, you know, like it's become so like something that people are afraid to even talk or think about.
To be fair, some sex shops are pretty dingy.
That's true. Like, you're like, oh no.
You're like, what are you trying to communicate with, like, your display and the bars on the door and like the like 20-year-old stuff? Like, it's just,
what kind of BDSM do you do?
You could clean it up so much. It would look so much more welcoming. Like, any store that looked like that, I wouldn't want to go into.
That's true. It's like not helping with the stigma people.
Maybe they like that though.
Yeah, maybe they just want their own.
They're hardcore fans. And...
That's true. What would you, because we're coming to sort of like a wrap up time, I want to ask you a couple more questions. Mm-hmm. What would you say to anyone considering maybe camming?
The first thing I tell everybody is really take some time to reflect. If anyone in your life would find out, would that be, I like the expression, some things that can be started with a push can't be stopped with a pull.
Yeah.
Would that be something that you would not be able to forgive
pull back
yourself for?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be devastating?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Don't do it. If that's,
if you're gonna lose all of your support, yeah.
It does. It's not that you don't know how anyone's going to react. And sometimes people bailing on you because you do something like this is a good thing. It's not about their reaction. It's about you. Are you okay with them knowing?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to tell them. And probably they won't find out. But assume they will.
Yeah.
Don't go into it
Assuming
no one will ever know. And set yourself up for devastation.
Yeah.
So be super, super honest with yourself. And part of that is, if you're just afraid about what they think about it, look at that.
Yes.
Like, you know, why are you living your life according to other people's ideas for you?
Right? Yeah.
I mean, for some people, they're like, I wouldn't want to destroy my parents' ideas of me. Not because I'm afraid of them, but for their sake. I wouldn't want to do that. And that's one thing, but to be like, I would be afraid of this person's judgment, so I'm not free to do these things. That's a weird level where you're just giving up your freedom, and probably that's not the only place that's happening.
Exactly.
I think if you get really real with yourself about how much you're living according to other people's ideas for you, there's a lot of freedom on the other side of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I would consider. The other thing I would consider is, are you doing it, like, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because you just want to work just enough to pay the bills and then go sit at the beach? You're free to do that. And it works for people. I think that there's a much bigger potential for it. If you're willing to hustle it and you're blessed genetically.
Yeah.
Like there is, obviously.
You have to be gifted on some level.
Yeah, and like you have to pay attention and you have to, you know, mm-hmm. give a shit. But it really is an amazing opportunity for the people who it works for.
Yeah.
And will put in the work.
Yeah.
And I think if you're like, if you don't really know what you want to do, if you would consider doing it and you're willing to put in the work, it's like a sort of a launching off point for anything where you're like, oh, you know what? I really want to open like a vegan cafe on the coast.
Yeah.
Suddenly you have a pile of cash where you can just go do the thing.
Yeah.
You can execute on it or whatever. So that's sort of what it has been for me.
Yeah.
Other than that, like if I don't know if you put contact stuff. If anybody
wants to do it,
they're welcome to chat with me. I love talking to people about it.
Yay! I'll put Tyler's contact information that he gives me down in the description, or you can, cool. you know, tweet me or whatever. Cool. Yes. I had a great time chatting with you today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. And yeah, like I said, if you guys have any questions, comments, insights, you know where to find me and subsequently Tyler as well. And if you wanted to talk about other things or have any suggestions for future podcasts, please feel free to also do all of the subscribing, clicking bullshit. Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great Friday. And yeah, see ya next week.